one of the things that we do for our internal use case, sending data to maybe data science, we'll first do data quality checks on the data. And then if everything looks good, then only we transform and send it to like our downstream.
You're listening to the Data Flowcast, where we unlock the secrets of mastering airflow for data engineering and AI.
Okay. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Data Flowcast. I'm your host, Kenton Danis, and today I'm joined by Ashir Alam, who is a senior data engineer at Credit Karma. Ashir, how are you doing?
Doing well. How are you, Kenton?
I'm good. Thanks. It's so great to have you on. We're happy to have you here. Let's go ahead and dive in. So for today's podcast, we're going to discuss how Credit Karma manages data quality and governance with Airflow. I think this is an exciting topic. But before we get into all of that, I want to start with a little bit of background. I think a lot of folks might be familiar with Credit Karma, a pretty well-known company. But for anybody who might not be aware or might not know the details, tell us a little bit about what Credit Karma does.
Yeah, so Credit Karma, if you think of it this way, we show credit scores on the app from TransUnion, Equifax, but there's a lot more to that. You have all kinds of financial products on our website, on our app. Like you can go all the way from personal loan, home loans to insurance. So many new things, so many exciting things. And then now I think we also have connected accounts, so you could track your net worth in one place. Yeah.
Yeah, very helpful to be able to see all of that disparate data in one interface. I know lots of people who use Credit Karma or similar services, so definitely a lot of value provided there. And I would imagine a lot of data management that comes into providing all of that for folks. So yeah, maybe that's a good lead-in to my next question, which is, what does your team do?
So I think I mentioned TransUnion and Equifax just a moment ago, but we are the gatekeepers of data getting into Credit Karma. We are the primary team to ingest data from our different partners, and that includes TransUnion and Equifax. So name it, credit scores, like credit data, holistic credit data as a whole for any member, for example, you, me, all of those things. And then we will massage the data, do all kinds of transformations, make it usable for all of CK basically, and like all of CK, and then make it usable for everyone. And also like maybe like do data quality, making sure data is clean enough that it can be used correctly. So yeah.
Yeah, great. I love your description of that you're the gatekeepers for data getting into the platform. I think that'll be very relevant as we dig in a little more to the data quality piece a little bit later. But tell me before that, where does Airflow fit in to your tech stack and to everything that you just described that your team does?
So when I joined in, we didn't have Airflow at all within our team. So what happened was we had a whole lot of Scala microservices. Hey, you ingest data. We didn't really care too much about data quality. We were like, okay, some downstream teams will take care of things. And that came into picture because a lot of data is PII and you want to handle all of that in a specific, you don't want to expose it to every single system, right? You want to make sure it's clean enough or PIIs are scraped, or if we have to store PII, it's in a secure database. So the way now, I think with everything that we have now, the way we have Airflow is we'll scrape off all PII, and now we are using it to make the data available to all downstream systems who don't necessarily need any PII. That's one thing. Another use case is data quality, which is, I think, the meat of the topic as well. So we also end up doing data quality, dashboarding, reporting, all those things as well. But I think mainly like data quality and making the data available to downstream systems without any PII data.
Okay, got it. And that management of the data and sending it to other systems, the orchestration for that, is that primarily like ETL type pipelines, or what does that look like?
It is ETL type of pipelines. So the data. So in the first layer, the data will land into our data warehouse. In this case, it is BigQuery, which is provided by GCP, Google. And then from there on, we'll take the data, transform it into different types, maybe flatten the data if we have to. And then all of those things are done via Airflow as an orchestrator. And like you have custom functions, you have all of those things, but Airflow is the primary orchestrator.
Okay, interesting. I love to hear that. Well, let's go ahead and dive a little deeper into that data quality and governance use case, since it sounds like that's pretty central for you. I feel like this is a bit of an obvious question, given everything you've already said about what your company does and what your team does. But maybe tell me, why is data quality and governance important for Credit Karma?
Maybe like in very layman terms, we want to make sure the score you see on app is tied to you and not a person Y, right? We don't want to make sure people like getting cross contamination. We want to make sure the data is clean, as well as all kinds of personalization that we are doing on your data is tied to you. So that is one like piece of things. Now we also want to make sure that, hey, we have all these external providers of data. And like in a normal case, you always want to assume that anyone can mess up. So we want to make sure that you do we do our due diligence. We will always push people outside to do their due diligence, but we want to make sure we do our due diligence as well in any kinds of data that we are getting in. And I think people are extremely sensitive when it comes to their personal finances, which makes it even more important that we do our data quality and things.
Yeah, of course, that makes sense. It's data that's very important for people's everyday lives and is used for a really important decision. So, and I think that's interesting that you described it as because you're aggregating data from a couple of different sources. You're in kind of a unique situation where you can probably flag inconsistencies or things like that to let upstream, you know, companies or whatever know that, hey, like something has gone wrong here.
Happens all the time. Like it happened last week, happened last month, happens all the time.
I think it's great that you're doing that. And also I'm like a little concerned to learn that it does happen all the time, right? Not exactly what everybody wants to know, but at least we know that it's being managed. So Okay, cool. And then you mentioned before that you did choose, you know, within the last couple of years that you've been at Credit Karma to use Airflow for this use case. What made you choose Airflow over other tools for managing your data quality in this way?
So since we started with no tool, the first things was getting a tool which was easy to use, right? Airflow with its Python syntax and everything, as well as like the basic syntax, is so easy to learn by anyone. I think that was the biggest driver for all of us. One other thing that we thought of back in the day was we could use it for ETL, but we could also use it for data quality in a single pipeline. For example, one of the things that we do for our internal use case, sending data to maybe data science, we'll first do data quality checks on the data. And then if everything looks good, then only we transform and send it to like our downstream, or like vice versa, we'll transform, we'll do data quality checks and then only send it to downstream. It is possible with other tools as well, but then with Airflow, you can do everything in one place, right? We have also started using some other tools, but now we are able to complement all of them with Airflow, which makes it easier. Like you can have one Airflow DAG doing your main thing, but also like reaching out to DBT or some other places and then doing things there. So it's a very unified architecture that Airflow provides, as well as the flexibility of maybe picking and choosing the tools that you want for your use case, but being the main orchestrator for everything.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And then tell me a little bit more about how you've actually implemented the data quality framework within Airflow. What does that look like?
So am I allowed to share screen?
No, just because it won't make sense for the audio.
Okay. So the way we do it is using something called DAG Factory. DAG Factory is open source library by Astronomer. It is not by Airflow. It's an open source library that Astronomer provides. What it does is so Airflow as of now is Python based, or like with Airflow 3, we are moving to language agnostic tasks, but we'll go there in a bit. Since it was primarily Python based, we thought, why even have people do things via Python? Instead, let's just have them define things in a YAML config file. So the way we do it is we'll ask a user to fill a form. So any kinds of abstraction or like them writing Python code is taken away. They know what they want. They'll fill in a form. And then that form internally is tied to a GitHub executor, which ends up creating a PR on GitHub. What that PR contains are the YAML file, which will power Airflow DAG, which basically gets parsed into an Airflow DAG as a whole. So, and then you have Circle CI checks on top of that, and then it gets merged, and then you see the DAG on like production and whatnot. But specifically, like, another thing, like, I think because we knew that the data quality checks might be repetitive, like, we might want one structured format, we just thought, hey, let's plug everything through a YAML, let it have a very same structure, and then change where we need to, or based on the form, we'll just update things for each data quality alert. For example, like, one alert could be for data completeness, one alert could be for data accuracy as an example, and then the GitHub executor on the backend takes care of everything.
This episode is brought to you by Astronomer, creators of Astro, the leading fully managed Airflow service designed for the modern data stack. Whether you're orchestrating large language models, implementing a data mesh architecture, or streamlining complex workflows, Astro empowers your team to focus on innovation, not infrastructure. To see how you can maximize Airflow's potential within your data ecosystem, visit www.astronomer.io.
Cool, that makes sense. And so I think a lot of our listeners will probably be familiar with DAG Factory. The package, as you said, is open source. Astronomer manages it now, and I think used by a lot of teams who don't want to write their own Python for DAGs.
Yeah.
You might be the first person I've talked to who's using it for data quality specifically. So I think that's an interesting case where, as you said, there's a repeatable pattern that you're trying to implement. I'm curious what is happening underneath the hood? So, like, when somebody fills out the form and then that's translated into the DAG Factory YAML, is that going to create, like, SQL check operators in the DAGs? Or?
Yes. Okay. So you can define custom logic. For example, let's say you said you want to do query check operator or, like, some kind of BigQuery operator, table existent operator. You can define in the form. For example, you can do a tick for, hey, I want to check if the table exists as a first step. So in the DAG Factory YAML, that gets parsed at the end. Step one might be, hey, start the DAGs. Step two might be, hey, check if the DAG, if the table exists or not. Step three might be, check null rate of a column X. And everything, given like we are using YAML, it was easy to make it standardized and then be like, hey, yeah, everything is working. And then, like, with after all the checks, we want to make sure alerting is set correctly. So we had to write our custom Slack operator and PagerDuty operators. And then that way, our monitoring and alerting is set correctly.
Okay, that's great. That leads me into my next question, which was, what happens when a check fails? So are you implementing the checks within the ETL DAG and it's stopping the pipeline? Or
yeah, so in two ways specifically. So one of them being, as you just said, in ETL pipelines, we have, we run transformations and then we run some extra checks. As part of that, if something failed, we'll just stop the pipeline. Meaning the data did not get into its destination from where downstream could have used. And then simultaneously, Slack and email will be sent for, like, engineers and who all to take a look at the data. and see what's going on. So that is one case. We do have cases where data is just sitting in the data warehouse. And then we also run checks on top of that on our set cadence, like once a day, every 4 hours, every 6 hours. And then like something fails, we'll just send PagerDuty Slack so that whenever like we have daily jobs, which might run at 12, our data quality checks, we'll try to run by 6 or 5 to make sure that teams do have the latest and greatest data, as well as we have time to fix things on our side if something were to break at that time.
Interesting. And so now that you've been working with DAG Factory in this implementation for a while, are there any optimizations that you think you'd make to your framework or anything that you could think could be improved about DAG Factory as the tool? I guess those are two separate questions. We'll take them separately.
So in terms of framework, I think one thing I've noted is we want to add new features. For example, like we just added on failure callback for DAG as a whole to be sent to different sources, not just Slack and email. We had to do some custom thing and then make sure everything is propagated everywhere, which was just a little bit of copy and paste to some XYZ place. So maybe I want to think in terms of how can I make it extensible so that I don't have to do a whole lot of copy and paste. But in terms of DAG Factory, I think initially when we did this, one big challenge was, when I was just playing around with it, one big challenge was DAGs were not getting passed correctly. And then I was like, hey, I made this change. I don't even see the DAG as a whole. So, and then I realized that Cloud Composer environment doesn't show a lot of details at all. So you have to go to actual Airflow thing, and then it might say a DAG is broken, but it won't say how and where, or will it say like, hey, the syntax is broken. So maybe if like we could do something around better error handling or like showing an error in a better way, I think that is one big thing. And yeah, so I don't know how familiar people are with YAML, but it's very easy to miss one space or two space in a YAML file and then for everything to break. So like maybe if you could have stricter or better YAML like validation, like YAML, I think that will be one big thing as well.
Yeah, YAML linting is always a challenge.
YAML linting.
Very, very picky for sure.
Yeah. Maybe one other thing is I think we haven't reached there yet, but as we have like, let's say thousands of DAGs, the way DAG Factory does work is it will keep polling the folder for DAGs every few minutes or whatever. But what happens is if you have thousands of DAGs or like 5,000 DAGs, it's very easy to break that thing. There are obviously workarounds for that. For example, instead of you having 5,000 DAG in one folder, you can just break it down by, let's say, 200, 300, 500 DAGs per folder and then have one DAG Factory instance manage one. But if we can move everything from runtime like we have right now to, if let's say, compile time, I think we reduce that risk even further of the scheduler not picking up changes correctly for our DAG Factory DAG.
Yeah, definitely. I think with any sort of dynamic DAG generation, scalability is always a big
concern.
Yeah, a problem, something you have to tackle. So yeah, mm-hmm. I think a lot of teams deal with things like that. And it's fortunate that Airflow has so many knobs that you can tune to try and adjust and make it work, that I think a lot of teams are successful with it. But you do have to know kind of, I always think about like the big like airplane, you know, thing with all of the like thousands of buttons.
Yeah.
You have to know which ones to push.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also like how can you scale something to not just the current use case where you have 50 DAGs, how do you scale it to 5 years later, how like the state will be.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's great that you're thinking forward in that way. And appreciate you going through that use case. Thought it was super interesting to hear about. I think this looking forward conversation is a good tie-in to my last question, which I ask to all of the guests, and that is, what would you most like to see from the Airflow project in the near future?
So with the last Airflow Summit, I was like, hey, I have to get my hands dirty with Airflow. So I have started committing to the open source as well. That's one thing for myself. But one, I think maybe if we do something like make all the boring tasks by default, for example, you have retries, you have email sending, you have ownership. If we can make everything by default so that if I forget to set one flag, it doesn't break, hopefully, something, or there is a good handling for it. I think that will be nice. For example, like retries by default, or like alerting if we have a good enough handling, or by default handling, I think that will be very helpful for everyone. And I'm excited to see, I think, how the community is going to do with Gen AI. I think we have introduced human in the loop as a thing as well. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, definitely a priority for the project moving forward. Yeah. More support for those types of workflows. Those are growing a lot. So, yeah. Well, it's very cool to hear that you've started to contribute. I always love hearing people.
Thank you.
Joining the open source project. Well, Ashir, it's been really nice speaking with you. What is the best way for folks to get in touch with you?
LinkedIn. I think if you just look for me on LinkedIn, ASHIR-ALAM, you'll find me there.
Great. We'll throw that in the show notes. Well, thank you again for coming on. This has been a great discussion.
Thank you very much, Kenton. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for the latest episode of the Data Flowcast, Mastering Airflow for Data Engineering and AI. You'll find links in the show notes to any resources mentioned in today's show. If you're enjoying our podcast, please subscribe so you never miss an episode, and leave us a 5-star review.